Shalom Aleichem, welcome on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shkalim Yud Zayin. Shkalim 17a, pagination page 33. So the Mishnah on Tesvav Amud Beis told us Shlosh Esra Yishtachavayus Hayu B'Mikdash, that there were 13 places that they bowed in the Mikdash. When a person was going around, finding his entrance until he'd finally come into the Beis HaMikdash, there were 13 spots, and he would be bowing by each one of them. So the first approach, which was introduced by the Mishnah, told us, Keneged Yud Gimel Sha'arim. These 13 bowings, which they remembered was a major tradition, 13 bowings, were corresponding to the 13 gates that were there in the Beis HaMikdash. However, and this is the start of our sugya today, about 12 lines down, in the middle of a line, Biram Kirabanan, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that there were not 13 gates, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu, there were only 7 gates, Ba'azara. Al Das the Rabbanan, Heichu Hayu Eshtachava'os Halalu. Where exactly were these 13 bowings? Go to page 33, the facing page, and drop down about 12, 13 lines in the beginning of a line. Ki hahi. The Gemara answers, Ki hahi de taninan tamon, it's following what we learnt over there. Yud gimo peratzas hayubo, there were 13 breaches, shapirtsom malche yavon, which the kings of Yavon destroyed during the story of Hanukkah, v'chazru v'godrum b'nei Chashmonoi, and when the b'nei Chashmonoi were victorious, the Maccabees were able to reconquer the Beis HaMikdash, they fixed it. V'gozru kinegdon, and they made a legislation that when you pass any of those breaches now fixed, Yud Gimel Ishtach Avayos, each one of them gets a bowing, presumably of appreciation, to remember what had happened, and that Hashem assisted us, or enabled us, to do the recovery. So the Mefarshim say these 13 breaches were not because they needed to get their tanks in and there wasn't enough space. This is very similar to the fact that they defiled every single cruse of oil by purposely sticking their finger in to defile it. They breached these openings because the fence in which they were breaking through was the fence which demarcated how far the non-Jew was allowed to go on the Beis HaMikdash complex. And the Yevanim, who did not want to recognize any distinction to the Jewish people and didn't want to recognize any distinction to the Beis HaMikdash, purposely breached these holes in the wall, and the Chashmonaim had tremendous gratitude. It was very momentous when they were able to repair those problems. This is definitely keeping within the perspective of what the Yevanim did. For example, they outlawed Torah study, they outlawed Shabbos, and that was the piece that we heard this Shabbos, that the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim tells us that these are the things that a non-Jew would be prohibited from, Shabbos and Torah, and that's precisely what the Yevanim wanted to be, one melting pot of society, and each culture should not have its identity, and the Jews were standing strong that we still have Torah, and that's exactly what the Yevanim wanted to demolish, and it showed up here as well in the uniqueness of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one beautiful piece from today's daf. Let's drop down, and we have not quite as uplifting, but very important piece, counting up from the bottom seven lines, at the end of a line. At Motze, you find, B'shar sha'olo Nebuchadnezzar lekan, when Nebuchadnezzar came here. Isn't that a fascinating wording? Yeah. When Nebuchadnezzar came here, because this is Talmud Yerushalmi. This is written in Eretz Yisrael. Bov Yosef Lobedofne Shal Antochya. He was there in the outskirts of the city Antochya. V'yotza Sanhedrin Gedola Likraso. And the first Beis HaMikdash was still standing. The Sanhedrin went out to greet him. V'omro lo. And they said to him, Higia Zman Abayis Hazel Licharev. Is it all over? Amalohen, he said, no! Osashem lachti alechem teneuli. He wants Yechanya, he wants the king to be handed over, to become his captive. Vani holich, if you hand him over, I'll leave. Bo v'omru le'yoyachin melech Yehuda. So they told the king, Nebuchadnezzar bo'ilach, he wants you. Kevin sheshama mehen kach, once he heard this, he realized that he doesn't just want the king, but this is a significant moment. Ominous. Notam avtecha shabeis hamikdash. He took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. Alo legago shal heichal. He went to the roof. Amo lefanav, and he said, Ribono shal olam, Master of the universe, l'sha'ovar, in the past, tayinu ne'emanim lach, we were trusted by you, v'yom avtechosecha mesurim lanu, and you granted us the keys. Achshav she'einanu ne'emanim, but now we're not trusted by you. Harim avtechosecha mesurim lach, the keys belong back in your hands. Terein Amoroin, there's a machlokes Talmudic scholars, Chadom Azorkon, one opinion is he threw them up, Ve'od lo yordu, and they didn't come down. V'chadomar, and the other opinion is, Ba'ok him in yad, v'natlosan miyado, all he did was stretch his hand out with the keys, and a figure of a hand, an image of a hand, came and actually took them from his hand. What's fascinating about this Gemara is that a similar story shows up in the Gemara of Tainis at the time of the Churban, telling us that the Pirchei Kuhuna are the ones who did this exact thing that's attributed years earlier to Yehoyachin. So the Yefei Nayim, one of the Mefarshim, who is actually typically printed after Psachim, if you're looking for it, but he tries to reconcile and say perhaps the story happened multiple times, that this was not such a novel thing. The first time we read this, we say, whoa! But by them, this is what you did when you resigned. In other words, they understood the resigning from running the Beis HaMikdash, and it could be that it happened multiple times. Let's turn the page, and on Amud Beis, page 34, on the fourth line of the page, the new Mishnah tells us, Yud Gimel Shulchanos Hayu B'Mikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. And these Mishnayos do have a sequence of 13s, different things. Skip into the Mishnah about four lines. At the end of a line, Ubeis Ba'ulam, there were two, by the hallway, which is right outside the Kodesh, where the Shulchan of note that had the Lechem Aponim on it, that's where these two tables were situated. Al Pesach Habayis, Echad Shal Shayish, one of these tables that we're describing now was made of marble, Ve'echad Shal Zahav, and one was made of gold. Al Shal Shayish, what was the function of the marble one? Nosnum Lechem Aponim Bekinisaso, they would put the showbreads on it on their way in. Ve'echad shel zav, and the one of gold is bitziyaso, when they're taking the showbreads out to distribute them to the Kohanim to eat on Shabbos, so that's where they'd put it on the golden table. Shemalin bekodesh velo moridin, because you go up in holiness and not down, so you go on the way in marble, on the way out gold. Very nice. Skip one line to the Gemara. Tani, we learned. This is a mistake. Al shel kesef. On the way in, it wasn't marble. It was silver. Okay. What's the big issue? Drop down three lines. After listing which Amoraim are backing up this position, the Gemara says, Les kan shel kesef. The dissenting opinion, which we found in the Mishnah, that says that incoming table is marble, it can't be silver. Why not? Mepnei shehu marsiach, because it is hot. And silver would not be good for the hot, straight out of the oven, or not so straight out of the oven, but almost straight out of the oven, showbreads. You can't put it on silver. You have to put it on marble, stone. It'll cool it off. Don't put it on silver, because it'll spoil. Says the Gemara, you're worried about spoiling? By the Lechem HaPanim! Lo King Tani, didn't we learn? Ze echad min anisim shenasa b'Beis HaMikdash. This is one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. Shekashem shayim anichim oso chom. The same way that they put it in fresh, warm, on the way in, onto the Shulchan, kacha yomotzin oso chom. A week later when they took it off to serve it to the Kohanim, it was equally warm and fresh. You're worried about putting it onto a silver table. There's little nuance of care for the bread. I mean, we have bigger issues here, which we weren't worried about. Is Nisim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Losum lachem cham biyomi lakcho. They put warm bread on the way they took it, the way they had put it down. Same thing. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi explained, why are we insistent that it has to be marble? Because ein maskirin maisen nisim. You can't get miracles involved here. We have to do the best we can to keep it fresh. And that means you put it on marble, not on silver. Hashem will then do his part. If Hashem had in mind a miracle here that it's going to be fresh, so it's going to be fresh. But that's not how we plan the situation. We plan it the best that we can. And that's the machlokes, shayish, or kesef, on the incoming table. The addendum that's fascinating about this whole thing is that the mekalel, the one who cursed, so one approach as to what was he cursing in Chumash is because he noticed that Hashem is telling in the Mishkan that they should serve the Kohanim week-old bread. And he said, that's the way you treat your servants. And the Mefarshim say, had he waited a week and saw that it was fresh, then he never would have, but he was rash. Right away, he heard the mitzvah and he got all excited about it. But what's fascinating is that, yes, when we go into a mitzvah, ein maskirin ma'aseh nisim, what was the Kohanim's attitude? If Hashem wants me to eat stale bread as part of the avodah, I'll eat stale bread. Whatever it is, that's the attitude. But the fact is, it did remain fresh, but we were not allowed to rely on that. And the Mishnah insists that that table had to be made out of marble. Yashikoach, have a great evening.